Whoop, whoop. Absolutely, it is. Happy early 4th of July. Happy early restart of Major League Baseball spring training, which starts tomorrow. We are in July, and everything is supposed to start happening this month. Cross your fingers, wear your masks, and guys, we are getting closer than we have in a very, very long time.
We are. You know, we are, but 4th of July is going to be fun.
Oh,
we're going to figure it out. We gonna figure it out. Might not be able to hit the. I wouldn't go into the beach anyway. Sand and my food and everything, but you still can have your cocktails. You still can eat. You still can enjoy your backyards. You know, parks aren't off. You still could social distance at parks.
Blow stuff up.
No,
most of the fireworks shows have been shut down too.
Yeah, not mine.
Anybody getting together? Yeah, not the one in your.
Yeah,
house,
and that's that's part of the problem. Your hands, you mess around in one of them M80s. Take off your fingers, because you're gonna get the real dynamite. I know you. You like Yosemite Sam. You're gonna go try to think it's funny and go do something. You know.
But he doesn't need his fingers anyway. It's not like he's typing on the keyboard or doing anything to help us. So what does it matter?
I'm not gonna lie. I'm excited for the Arquee Zap coming up later today. I'm very excited to see what you're gonna put on the grill key, what you're gonna have for us to drink, because I've followed a few of your recipes along the way, and they have not disappointed. I'm not gonna lie. You're pretty consistent.
Well, you know what, man? It's been a long time coming. Let's put it that way. It was so funny. Is I gotta find my mom's little black book from her cooking recipes. She got. I don't know where it's at. It's been stuffed around somewhere in my house, and I got it, and from when she passed away. And she's got some amazing stuff on there. But it's one of those deals where 4th of July. It's time to get down and grill. Hopefully it's not too hot. It's not one of them beaming sunshines. It's going to be pretty. I just hope that it's like, you know, that 75, but the hot is not so severe that you don't
want to
stand
in front
of.
Yeah,
you don't want to stand in front of the grill. You want to be able to just stand there and play around, turn it. See, I'm not one of those grilling guys that get put it on the grill and close the thing and come back 30 minutes later. Like, oh, yeah, to stand there and turn and twist and make
Who does that?
Well, I mean, you'd be surprised.
You know what? I am tired of being the butt of every food joke on this show.
We didn't say – hold on, LZ. We didn't say Travis. We didn't say yo people. We didn't say white people. We didn't say nothing.
No,
I said
did.
You'd be surprised.
Without saying it, you said it. I mean you –
As Bill Parcells would say, a bit dog will bark.
All right. Well, we'll see whether or not I turn my meat on the grill every 30 seconds or I just close the lid or not. Like I said, stuff is getting back sooner. Spring training starts tomorrow, right? I guess it's not spring training if it starts on July 3rd. Summer training is starting tomorrow inside of the ballparks.
Well done,
the Lakers and the NBA, they're getting ready to restart as well. We found out yesterday that the Lakers are not going to replace Dwight Howard on their roster, that they're going to leave the spot available to him. Let's take a listen to Frank Vogel and his explanation as what they're going to do with Dwight.
Yeah, we've been in communication with Dwight the whole way, with supportive phone calls and text messages. And, you know, we don't know what the level of participation is going to be yet. He wants to play. We're hopeful that he's able to join us. He has an extenuating circumstance that he's working with the league on in terms of what that is ultimately going to look like. But we're hopeful and optimistic that he'll be able to join us in Orlando.
Hopeful and optimistic that he'll join in Orlando. To me, that sounds like they don't know when they're going to get him, but that they're going to get him.
It's going to, you know, like I said about Frank Vogel the other day when he had his Zoom presser, I mean, Rob Pelinka, he had a Zoom presser, is that you could certainly tell that they were in the mood of helping Dwight Howard try and figure out, not leaving him out on a limb, to try to figure out how to resolve the issues that he has with his family, that they was willing to dive all in and help him do that. And you could certainly hear from Coach Frank Vogel on that, how he – it in the league is working to help Dwight try to figure out what the best situation is for him and his family. I think that, when you look at it, the Lakers certainly needed Dwight Howard in the lineup to continue to give them that consistency on the defensive end out of the five position, late in games, you know, putbacks, block shots, shots trajectory, all of those sort of things, because there's no other person that's out there that they can go out on the streets and pick up to give them that same thing. So the best thing is either we get Dwight or either we work with Dwight to try to figure this out, mm-hmm. not necessarily get him to do it, but work with him to do it in the best interest of him and his family, or we stand pat and we just continue to roll what we have out and sort of construct our defense a certain or our team a certain way that we could replace Dwight based on minutes and production with other players.
Yeah, you know, they really were in a no-win situation in terms of that spot anyway. You know, DeMarcus Cousins, his camp was going back and forth for a minute. You know, he said he wasn't sure. His agent said he's open to play. You know, there's still questions about his health. So you don't know what that is, right? So you can't bring that in because you're not even sure what that is. The other options that are still dangling out there, they're older, good players in their prime, but they're way past their prime. And they can't bring what Dwight Howard brought anyway. So it's like, why are you even here kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then there's the fact that there's just the chemistry. And, you know, we were talking yesterday about LeBron and playing at the five, if they play small ball or so needed, or so if they need it. But we also forgot about that we picked up Markieff Morris.
Yeah.
And he, too, can slip in that five spot in a small ball scenario. And they still got to work in Deion Waiters. So maybe ultimately they just decided that they have enough experimentation because between Morris, Deion Waiters, and now J.R. Smith, they already have three new bodies to try to figure out how to assimilate into this team. Adding a fourth body to replace Dwight Howard probably was asking too much anyway of the coaching staff, and really at this point would have not necessarily added much, if anything, because that player coming off the street probably would not have played anyway.
Yeah, look, you can only tinker with it so much. I mean, I think one of the advantages that the Lakers have and one of the advantages that some of these favorites are going to have is that their core was really good to start. And assuming that most of these guys are coming back, you just got to get back in shape. You got to find your rhythm. And then you're going to be, if you were a good team before the shutdown, you're probably going to be a good team after the shutdown. The Lakers are dealing with something that's a little unique where they have to integrate these new players. You know, Morris was there for a little while, but not a ton of time. So he's still in the process of being, you know, integrated into the team. Deion Waiters had not played at all. J.R. Smith has not played at all. So you got to get those guys up to speed. And then to try and do it, like you were saying, with another guy in Dwight's spot, you know, especially if the guy that's going to take Dwight's spot is really not anywhere near Dwight's level, then what are we doing in the first place? Let's just cross our fingers and hope that Dwight's available to us at some point. And look, if you're just reading tea leaves, if you're just trying to read between the lines on what Frank Vogel is saying, that they're going to continue to work with him. We're going to try to, you know, he had an extenuating circumstance. We're in communication with him. All of these things lead me to believe that not that Dwight doesn't have a good excuse for not going, because he certainly does, but if I'm reading the tea leaves, it sounds to me like Frank Vogel at least has a decent feeling that Dwight is going to come back, because otherwise I think they would be saying, look, he's got to deal with his son. He wants to go deal with what's going on in the world right now. So some other players have chosen to do as well. And Dwight's not going to be here for us, and we're going to move forward without him. That's not what he's saying. He's saying we're still talking. We're still working on it. We're still talking to the league. We're still talking to Dwight, and we're hopeful. That to me is a much, much better place to be in.
Well, it is. And that's exactly what he's doing. And that's what I said earlier, is that they are working with him. They know the severity of not having Dwight there. And they want to get him there, but they're not going to talk him into it. They're going to work with him. There's a difference in working with somebody or only being selfish and caring about the one common goal that you started the season with, which was winning a championship. It doesn't seem like that's what the Lakers and Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka are doing. It seems like that they're trying to work with him, because this is the first time that you've heard a organization say the league is working with a player to try to figure it out. You know, everybody else is like, well, it's up to them. It's their decision. And they kind of leave them out on the limb by themselves. It doesn't feel that way to me about the Lakers and the NBA in terms of Dwight.
Plus, remember, I mean, this is a father whose son is hurting because that child lost his mother. And, you know, recognizing that, you know, these athletes, these basketball guys are people first. You don't want to be the franchise that says, get over it, you know, in that scenario. You don't want to be the franchise that puts Dwight Howard in a situation where he feels he has to choose between playing for the Lakers and making sure that his son is okay. And so they're doing the things that they need to do in order to care for Dwight Howard, the person, first and foremost. And that's kind of what you want to see for every franchise, you know, whether you are a fan of that team or not, is to remember that these men, they're more than just athletes. And they got real problems going on. And money and fame doesn't cover everything.
Well, it's such, you know, not necessarily the death of the boy's mother. That's a category in and of itself. But there are already so many entirely unique extenuating circumstances from this entire relaunch to begin with. Just A relaunch. B, a relaunch in a bubble. C, a relaunch in a bubble in the midst of social protests across the country that has affected the vast majority of your players directly throughout their entire lives, and they're finally getting some movement, and they want to make sure that they don't lose the momentum on that. That's the third part of this. And then for Dwight Howard, there, of course, is the fourth part about the death of the mother of his son. So, I mean, you talk about all of these things all together at the same time. I don't know if anybody's got a blueprint for it, and the Lakers are doing the best they can. All these teams are doing the best they can, and Dwight has a decision that only he can make. I mean, you can get the counsel from the coach or your teammates or your agents or your families or your friends or whoever it is, but this is a decision that's got so many different facets to it. I do not envy Dwight to be in this position and have to make this call, because no matter what you do, you're going to feel like you're missing out on something. That's just inevitable. That's human nature. That if you got choices and you pick one, you're going to feel like you missed on the others.
Yeah, you know, and as I said, the good thing is that he feels supported as a human being by the franchise. I think that makes the conversation a little bit more difficult. And that's what you want. You want him to think about it. If the Lakers are being selfish and focused only on basketball, that makes the decision easier, in my opinion. Let me take care of my kid. But if you feel like that's your family too, and they're treating you as such, that, you know, I'm glad to see the patience.
They've got the task of actually trying to win a championship, which, at least according to one NBA megastar, is going to be the toughest championship ever to win. You'll hear from him next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, so before we try to figure out who we think might win that thing, let's try to set the number on what the winning amount of hot dogs might be. 7 minutes and 10 seconds. How many hot dogs is one of those guys getting through? Is it one a minute? Is it two a minute? I mean, can we see somebody eat 14 hot dogs in 7 minutes?
Dude, just the thought of eating a hot dog in 2 minutes is just gross. I don't know. Let me see it.
We've done Super Bowl parties with Mason over at Beebe's house. And, you know, I'm not following him like that. But, you know, I'm kind of observing as we're watching the game and seeing who's doing what. I don't recall Steve really putting a whole bunch of food on his plate. He strikes me more of as a nibbler than a gobbler. So I'm going to say Steve is going to lose because his stomach won't be used to consuming that much food in a short period of time, and that the number is going to only be at five. I think at five, Steve is going to tap out.
Wow. Yeah, I'd probably put it around four, five. I mean, that's a lot, man. Bread and dog?
I'm assuming that they're bunned, yes. I don't think they're just going straight meat. I think it's – if we're doing it under the classic rules, you have to do the bun as well, right? I don't know if they're going to go with that technique where they dip it in water or whether they just go dry or
that's
whatever it is.
That's even worse, dipping it in water.
That's what the pros do. I mean, aren't you going to try to do it like the pros?
That's when you know they don't really care about food. When you start bastardizing hot dogs and stuff like that.
Man. LZ, come on. Did you ever get a sense that Joey Chestnut or Kobayashi care about food? They're like eating machines. They're like sharks. They're just tearing through it.
No. Sharks care, man, because they'll bite into something. If it don't taste right, they'll let it go. I mean, don't make sharks sound like they don't care about the taste and the flavor. It's got to be seasoned right.
I'm thinking about their stomachs, though, man. Oh, God, that thing hurt.
I'm taking Sliwa. Sliwa seems pretty disciplined. So I would not be surprised if he'd been preparing for this. I'd not be surprised now. If this was what he's going to stake his claim on, that he's going to be the guy that wins this thing. So I'll take Allen. I'm not going to sleep on him. He looks like he knows what he's doing.
So do you put any mustard, ketchup, relish?
No, it's speed, Key. You guys are trying to figure out a way to enjoy this process. It's an entirely unenjoyable process. You just tear through it and be miserable for, I don't know. How long would you be miserable?
How are the dogs prepared, a month, the rest of your life?
What are we talking about?
Boiled? Are they grilled? How are they prepared?
They look like they're steamed.
Yeah, I think LZ's right.
They look like they're steamed, and that would make the most sense because if you got to keep them hot, you know, it's kind of hard to keep hot dogs hot on a grill without them eventually getting too hard and rough. But man, you can keep them kind of steamy.
That green tint. You don't want that.
Nah, I don't want any part of an eating contest, period. But that's
looks
just
like one of the hot dogs at the grocery, hot dogs at the gas station.
Hey, look, let's not be too rough on the gas station hot dog, because I did have a brief period in my life where about
please tell me that was when you was 19.
It was when I was in college, and there was a 7-Eleven down the street, and a 1:30 a.m. Hot dog was not totally out of the question on a regular basis.
Yeah, but okay, that's because you was 17, 18, 19 years old in college. But as long as you didn't do it within the last 20-something years, then I'm okay with it.
I haven't gone to the 7-Eleven dog in a while, but you go – I mean, guys, free chili and cheese at 7-Eleven. You can't go wrong.
Travis.
You can't go wrong. 100%.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be able to do that, but all right.
Giannis was talking yesterday, and he was talking about – obviously, the Bucks are not only one of the favorites. They are the favorite. That, according to Vegas, they are the heavy favorites to win this thing once they go back into the bubble. But Giannis was saying that this champion should have an asterisk, but for a different reason.
Now, I've heard a lot of people say that, the start next to this championship. I feel like at the end of the day, this is going to be the toughest, like, championship you could ever win. You know, because like the circumstances are really, really tough right now. So whoever wants it more is going to be able to go out there and take it.
I agree with him. It's probably going to be, you don't have any home court advantage. Your surroundings are different. You're not comfortable in your space. You don't have any fans. You've been sitting around for 3 months doing not anything, but doing nothing related to NBA basketball. I mean, so it is. I'm sure it's going to be tough to get restarted, get back going, and again, in an environment that is restricted to a certain degree of things that you would normally be accustomed to do: sleeping in your own bed, going home, playing with your family, all of those sort of things. That is no longer a part of it.
Well, you know, when you factor in the mental aspect of it. Like the physical aspect that we can debate, you know, all day long. But without question, mentally, this is going to be the toughest. Because to your point, Key, you don't have anything external to help you navigate through the playoffs. Everything has to be internal. You ain't got no fans to keep you going. You don't have your bed. You don't have your friends. You don't have the spots you like to go to if you have a bad shooting night and you kind of decompress. You don't have none of that. All you have... it's this little piece of land and your teammates and a couple of coaches, not even the whole staff is going. So if you had a staff member, and over the years, you know, through my reporting and just being around sports in general, over the years, you realize that certain players lean on other staff members of a franchise besides the coach. Exactly. And you saw that with Michael Jordan, for instance, with the security team. You will have guys who have relied upon certain faces and certain people in the franchise that they can't bring with them. So all these little things that an athlete would do to try to help them navigate through the pressures of a postseason, they likely won't have access to or be able to get to. And so not only do you have the physical aspect of it, which is, you know, not to be downplayed, that's going to be tough, but staying focused and not having anything that you're used to helping you navigate this pressure. Yeah, I agree with Giannis. This is going to be a hell of a time for the NBA players.
It arguably, I think you can make this case. This is the hardest one to win because there are no variables. It kind of going the other way, LZ, because it is just straight basketball. There is no riding the home crowd for a win. There is no getting hot in front of your people. This is straight. Every game is played in a vacuum. It is. Every game is about matchups. Every game is about defensive matchups. Every game is about coaching adjustments. Every game is about what's going on in the court, because all the things that you just mentioned, that my guys, my spots, the crowd, they're all gone. I mean, just take away the pandemic stuff. Take away the fact that the thing might get the plug pulled at any given moment. Keep in fact that you're worried about maybe one of your teammates or one of your opponents or a staffer sneaking out of the bubble and bringing the virus back into it. Just put all of that in a separate category and not even discuss it at this point. It's just straight, I need to deal with this guy, and there's no way for me to kind of fudge it over the course of a 7-game series, because we're going to be in the same gym in front of the same people with the same coaches, and it's just straight basketball. It is the ultimate chess. There's no emotion. It's all tactics for the better part of those 7 games.
Well, you know, if you could take the mindset – you could take that Michael Jordan mindset and just make things up in your mind, you probably will probably be able to get through it. I mean, when I remember in practice and things like that, when we had practices or like scrimmages, it was almost like, you know, there's no fans there, there's nothing, but you had to get through it. You had to motivate yourself internally on how do I get through this day of practice and go out there and perform at the highest level. It's okay, I'm going to dominate him because I don't even like him. I'm not even a friend of his, and he's up on me. I remember what he said to me 3 weeks ago. You know, so you try to just make stuff up in your mind so that you could attack the opponent. And I think that's going, you're going to see a lot of that going on in the NBA in this bubble.
Yeah, it's the ultimate test. I think Giannis is absolutely onto something there. It'll be asterisked because of all the extenuating circumstances, but that asterisk does not mean it means less. In this case, it might mean that it means a little bit more. The NFL has made a change to their preseason. Is it here to stay? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. LZ, should I take you not bringing up the polls so far to mean that I may have caught you, or did you just slip your mind? Did you get another win? What happened?
Or the fact that you brought it up within 30 minutes into the show means you might be ahead really bad.
No, I don't think. Yeah. No, you're giving me too much credit, Key. That's not what I mean. Yeah. Maybe I did, but I don't think so.
Well, there's still an hour left to vote. If you go to ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed, and you'll see the poets are who drafted the best old school cartoons. And LZ, you're still holding a commanding lead with 55.8% of the vote. Ooh, Travis, great. Travis does have 27% of the votes, but the Huckleberry Keys, 17% of the vote was not a popular choice there. Did like the Popeye with your first pick, but the second pick of Huckleberry Hound, that's kind of hurting you there. But congratulations, LZ. It looks like you might pull ahead of Key and get an 8th victory. So still an hour left to vote.
27% for me. That's a mortal victory. I'm usually down in the teens.
Travis, hush up. They're playing my song. They're playing my song. Louder.
Premature. There's still an hour left. People can still vote. They can rally for Keyshawn or Travis.
Yeah, it's not over yet, LZ. There could be a late rally. This could be one of these moments. Probably not, but you never know. I'll take something in the 20s. That's not bad.
I was happy with the first pick in the draft. I figured once I got Bugs Bunny, I was good. But I really feel as if Spidey and His Amazing Friends was a sleeper pick.
it was the 12th and final pick of the draft, and usually that'll do it for you. You get that last
Tom
pick.
Brady.
Yeah, that was your Yoda pick. Your I'll Yoda is your favorite alien.
Of all of the drafts, I liked my team yesterday as much as I've liked any of my teams. I do not have a weak link in my picks from yesterday.
I agree.
Keyshawn dropped. Did Keyshawn drop? Did he lose it? It's a Comrex silver.
No, I'm letting y'all go ahead and banner and enjoy yourself. That's all. I'm just, to be honest with you, as y'all was sitting and bantering and doing those sort of things, I just was looking at a lot of these videos that I keep getting from these Karens of the world and just laughing and just thinking. That's all.
Well, Key, if you get stuck in a Karen wormhole on YouTube, you're never going to get back because there's plenty of them.
This is crazy, though, man. Oh, man, the woman, I think it was in Michigan, she done put a gun on somebody. The other lady, it's just crazy. The other lady called the police in Montclair, New Jersey on the brother for building a patio. She needed permits. I'm like, I'm just laughing. It's too funny. It's like, man, Trav, what is going on?
Well, it's funny now. It's funny now. You know, but, you know, can you imagine how many incidents like that went undocumented before we had cells?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, obviously.
You know, so it's,
but it's just, but it's the reason it's funny to me is because people are still doing it and people are filming them and they're still doing it. It's like, do you not understand? Like, you're on camera, you're on film, and there's millions of people saying you're in the wrong right now, and you're still standing there. You know, people in the street saying you're wrong, and you're still doing it. Like, you're not even listening to what the people around you are saying. That's one of the reasons why I'm laughing. I'm like, man, where are your brains at?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, we're in interesting times. You know, very, very interesting, strange times. Not strange. And I have to correct myself from saying that. We're just in interesting times in terms of people being exposed.
Transition. To what,
yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just sort of like the flags coming down to Mississippi and people in Alabama are quitting their elected official jobs because they just don't like where the country's headed. But it's like, look, I understand fear. I do. I've been afraid in my life. I get it. You do irrational things when you feel threatened. But at the end of the day, you have to be honest with yourself. If you have a little bit of racial tendencies, chances are this time in American history may make you more uncomfortable than usual. The better thing for you to do is to pull a gun out and point it at your racism as opposed to other people. Kill the racism.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen.
As opposed to trying to lash out at other individuals, because the country's diverse and it's only going to become more and more diverse. And it's going to be harder and harder for white flight to find peace. And you can cobble yourself together somewhere where you won't be exposed to the diversity of this country. So just get over it, because this is just what it is.
The NFL, guys, is going to have a 2-week preseason coming up this year. They've gotten rid of week one and week four. They're going to start a little later. They're going to end a little earlier. They're going to have two games. Each team's going to have two games, one at home, one on the road. We've always talked about how these games were never going to go anywhere because of money. Obviously, there's no money to be made in these games because nobody's going to come in and watch them anyway. There's no tickets, parking, concessions, etc. But, Key, once we go back to a quote-unquote normal situation where people are attending these games, do those games come back or are they gone for good?
No, I think they're gone for good. I think this is they're going to see that this is going to be better, especially teams that come out on the better end of the season. They're going to attribute that to, oh, lack of preseason games. We really were healthy. So it's one of those deals where it's like everything, Major League Baseball, DH, right? All of a sudden – those teams that have success with the DH is going to politic to continue it for forever. I mean, it's, you know, and that's how these things go. Teams that have success with pass interference penalties, they like, yeah, and the ones that didn't, it's like, get it out of here. That's just how it's going to be. Guys, teams that stay healthy and run the course and have a successful season are going to contribute that to a lack of preseason games. You watch what I tell you.
Well, they did with Sean McVay when he basically canceled the preseason for his players, didn't use any of them for the last two seasons. Go back 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl, and the idea was, oh, Sean McVay cracked the code. Just don't play any of your guys. You're still going to be a good team. You still can go win the division. You can still advance in the playoffs. And they did the same thing last year, and they went 9-7. I don't know if there's a direct correlation between any of it.
But a lot of teams started doing what Sean McVay did, and some of those teams had success. So – you know, even though the Rams went 9-7, 9-7 was still they were still in the hunt for the playoffs. They still was hanging around. And then there's other teams that didn't play a lot of players during the preseason and became successful as well. So I can certainly see where those two games aren't going to really mean a whole lot. The owners are going to take a slight haircut on the gate receipts, and that's pretty much it, because – most preseason games are all local anyway. You get about two nationally, maybe three nationally televised preseason games on a Monday night for a tune-up. You get like a Sunday, and NBC gets a tune-up, and I think Fox gets a tune-up, and then that's pretty much it.
You wonder, too, if it's a precursor to them adding games and adding regular season games, because the give-back always seemed to be, hey, look, we'll cut a couple of these preseason games, but you got to give us them back in the regular season. We'll go to two. We're going to play 20 games no matter what. Carve them up however you see fit, because we need our 10 gates. We need our 10 home dates. So if you want to have 9 of them count or 8 of them count, it doesn't matter, but we're still going to charge you for the 10. You wonder if that's not the first move in actually extending the season. We've already seen them extend the playoffs. The extended season You have to imagine that's right, because I just don't see a scenario where they give back the money, because the money still flows. Maybe it doesn't flow like a regular season game, but it flows. If you want to buy season tickets, you have to buy it. If you want to park your car, you got to pay. If you want to buy a beer, you got to pay. You want to buy a T-shirt, or a hat, or a hot dog, or whatever it is, you got to pay.
But those preseason games are not as significant. I mean, preseason, you're going to get in the Rams. What do they get for preseason? 40,000?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's 40,000 people.
I understand, but it's not to the – it's not so significant over the course of the money that they make over the course of the season. You know what I'm saying? Instead of making $50 million, they're making $2 million. So it's kind of like, okay, we could afford to push that off if we pick up the 17th game.
And I just wonder, too – how much of this is also trying to limit as much exposure to the coronavirus as possible? That it's not purely financial, that it's also...
It's certainly both. It's financial and it's coronavirus-driven. Yeah,
let's keep this limited, because I've said it once and I'm going to say it again and I'm going to keep on saying it. There's no way football is going to escape. Every other sport has been touched. No way football is going to escape. So I think this is just smart on the NFL's part, just trying to, you know, let's get as many regular season games in as much as possible. So let's limit exposing our guys and our franchises for meaningless games. Let's at the very least try and bank some regular season games, because when we will, not if, but when we will have to suspend or pause, at least we've had some games on the books that matter.
Key, what's it going to look like is if teams don't have joint workouts, have a very limited preseason schedule. I know that the football at the beginning of the year is not quite as crisp as football in the middle and the end of the year.
Joint workouts are trash anyway.
Coaches love them.
Yeah, coaches want you there from 8 to 8 too. So they'll love for you to do football 24 hours, 7 days a week. Joint practices really blow. They're not good at all.
Well, that covers that. All right. If you are in Alabama, I want to tell you about a party, Key, that you absolutely want to stay away from. That's coming up next in the morning show on 710 ESPN. So, Key, you know how you or at least I don't want to say you believe this is going to happen, but at least you're hopeful that it will happen, that when players go into the bubble in the NBA, that they're going to follow the rules because they don't want to get anybody sick, right? At least you're optimistic and hopeful that people will have the greater good in mind, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. This may change your mind, because this, I think, is a far more accurate representation of how uninformed and crazy young people can be. Alabama college students are throwing COVID parties, and they're betting to see who can catch the virus first. According to Tuscaloosa City Councilor Sonia McKinstry, she says that students have been organizing COVID parties as a game to intentionally infect each other with the contagion that's killed more than 127,000 people in the country. She said she recently learned of the behavior and informed the city council of the parties occurring in the city. Quote, "They put money in a pot and they try to get COVID. Whoever gets COVID first gets the pot. It makes no sense. They're intentionally doing it." So this is what people are doing. This is what young people are doing. This is what people that think this stuff doesn't affect them, they're trying to get it on purpose.
So let me ask you this. You said Alabama, right? Tuscaloosa.
I did.
Tuscaloosa.
You correct. You didn't say Michigan.
Well,
Harvard.
Well,
USC. Hold on. I hear what you're saying. The people going into the bubble are not all from Harvard and Michigan.
No, but I'm
saying, they're from all over the country.
But I'm just saying, you didn't say that. You said Alabama.
Yes.
Had you said them other schools,
there will be people from Alabama inside.
They're
going to
mimic it. Yep.
Oh God, no.
Man, listen.
People
are crazy. Right out here in Arizona, we had to cancel our gym membership because the CEO of Mountainside Fitness, and yes, I'm putting your company on blast, has decided to sue the governor of Arizona because they're being forced to close, because the state is almost out of ICU beds because of the spread of the pandemic. And so when the governor announced that more closures, CEO of the gym I used to belong to for his right to keep his gym so that people can keep spreading the coronavirus or whatever. And I'm just sitting here like going, how the hell did a person with that kind of rationale get to that level of business success? Because if you're telling me when a governor during a press conference is saying we're almost out of ICU beds and your thought is I'm going to sue you. I'm running out of like places to find sanity. You know, it's just it blows me away that something as simple as saving humanity has become so politicized.
Well, I mean, this doesn't, at least in Alabama, LZ, this does not sound political. This just sounds stupid, because think about what they're doing. They're saying, hey, guys, let's all come in here. Everybody throw $10 in the pot, and whoever gets the deadly disease first wins. That's what they're talking about. That's what they're doing here. I mean, I don't know how a more perfect example of how this thing is looked at by young people as opposed to people with a little bit more experience. And I get it. In college, we all do things that are really, really stupid. You drink too much. You experience too much. You run around with people maybe that you shouldn't run around with too much. You do all these things. But this is something that could literally kill you or somebody you care about, and in relatively short order.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part, is that it could literally, like people don't know their bodies and their organs. You don't know that. Just because you may not have a certain underlying situation that is visible to you right off the gate, you contract this virus, and then all of a sudden something happens and it triggers something that you never knew that you had. Now what? You would be sitting around sorry.
Man, do you see the story about the guy who decided to go to a party once the state opened back up, went to this party. Someone who knew they had COVID-19 went to the party as well. Afterwards, great. That person felt bad, started calling some of the attendees and saying, hey, just a heads up, I had COVID-19. I had the coronavirus. So this guy then goes and gets tested himself, finds out he too is positive, post something a couple of days later on Facebook about be careful out there. You know, this is what I did. I regret it, blah, blah, blah. And then like 2 days later was dead.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. So because they went to a party and someone who knew their status infected a lot of people at that party. And one guy ended up getting killed from it. And that's from someone who knew.
I wonder if they could charge. I wonder if he could be charged with that, like charged with some sort of crime. Because he, in fact, knew, and he went knowingly to a party and infected people, and the person checked out.
We all went to parties in college, and they're crazy.
You didn't go to no damn party with somebody talking about, I got this, and you're going to get it.
Of course not. Of course not. But this is the point of the whole thing, is that this idea that people are going to act responsibly is there's evidence everywhere that not only do they act irresponsibly, and sometimes it's just out of complete ignorance, like, oh, I'll be fine, I'm not going to give it to anybody, I'm healthy. And then there's malice, like you're talking about. I mean, the college parties I went to were always so gross anyway. They're, you know, in a gross apartment, it's hot, it's sweaty, it's loud, it smells bad. And now introduce the Alabama people who are throwing a deadly contagion in there. I mean, it sounds like the worst party in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't get it. I do know that, you know, everyone who at least I've witnessed or have read who are dissenting voices in terms of, you know, staying quarantined or even with masks or anything like that, they're really bent more on, and I think it's a false rationale, but their whole thing is about liberty and freedom. I've yet to hear someone say, I just want to get it. Like that's new to me. But, you know, but to me,
if you're playing walking Russian around roulette with your life, and I ain't
well, to me, if you're walking around without your mask on in crowded environments anyway, you're still saying the same thing. It's just you're in denial. This is not even denial. This is, to your point, Travis, this is seeking it out. And I don't get it, but it's just, you know, the world, man, it's a trip. This is a trip. Like, there's literally a virus threatening humanity, and people still can't keep their ish together. This is why I always thought those movies, like Independence Day, when like all the countries come together to fight the aliens, I always thought that was fake. I was like, this is going to be one country that's yeah. going to be like going, nah, dog, we good, we good.
Hoax. Yeah, hoax. As the cities burn, hoax.
I always thought those movies, man, I was like going, you mean to tell me Arizona and Connecticut and Nevada all are in agreement and they all going to fight the aliens in the same way? Man, stop. Somebody's going to be like, nah, nah.
Key, does it change your tune about the bubble in Orlando?
No. No, because it's professional athletes with professional with an NBA.
Where do you pick up your IQ points when you become a professional athlete? Because I've met a lot of them, and not all of them are geniuses.
No, but you have a professional organization like the NBA that is guiding the ship. I just don't see it. I know Dame Lillard. You know, he Dame thinks different, but Dame is right there. And he look at the end of the day. I know that it's going to be some knuckleheads. There's no question about it. I'm hoping that's not the case. I'm hoping that they prove everybody wrong that think that this is what's going to happen. That's my hope. Now, have I been on teams and have I played with people when rules were in place and they said don't and people did? Of course. Of course, when they said don't go here because of curfew, be back at this time, and somebody comes strolling in at a certain time. I mean, I broke rules as a rookie. Hey, you know, it's you got a curfew. Well, no, I'm going to go. I don't care. The coach is getting fired. I'm getting ready to go and have some fun. I've done that as a rookie. But guess what it was doing? It was no virus. It was only going to affect me. It was not going to infect the entire NFL. That's the way I look at that. This is going to affect potentially the entire NBA opposed to an individual.
Key, I've never wanted you to be right more, and I'm never more certain that you're wrong, if that makes any sense at all. Like, I hope you're right, but I have absolutely no faith that that's the way that it's going to go.
I can't believe my rookie year I snuck out and went hung out.
I can't. You're a human being. You're a human being with human being urges and desires.
You want to know where I went?
I could probably guess.
Hey, you know when you start snitching, you say, "Well, I wasn't the only one."
Yeah, we've seen that too. All right, the Lakers are not going to replace Dwight Howard on their roster. You hear from the head coach Frank Vogel about what they plan on doing next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.